I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to threaten your brains. Okay? What does the word Christ mean to you? Does it mean Jesus' last name? The anointed one. Okay. Very good. Verse 8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow, deceptive philosophies, which depends on human traditions and basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ or the anointed." Verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." Try it on for size. Say, "For in Christ," or "in Jesus," all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Stop right there. When you said, "Jesus, would you come into my heart?" And you were born of the Spirit. Did he come naked or did he come fully attired? Fully equipped. Did he come as a baby? No. He came with his anointing. Where did he move? Where did he move? Into my heart. So where is the anointed one now? Okay. Verse 10 says, "And you have been given the fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Uh-huh. Try it on again. Say, "I have been given fullness in Christ," or "fullness in the anointing, who is the head over every power and authority." So why are you having troubles with a few demons? They don't have any power. So blaming them for your problem goes against God's word, doesn't it? Instead, you might consider the old Adamic nature, namely your old attitude that rises up when you least expect it. Now, those of you who don't have one of those, I'm sorely, surely blessed. But I find that it creeps up on me when I least expect it, and it makes a mess. But I need to change that because I need to get a new mindset or a new memory bank that says that I have been given fullness in Christ. Where Jesus is living now is where the Father is. Am I right? So could I be bold enough to say that if I look at you, I see the Father and the Son? Could I say I'm looking at you and I see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Huh? It works? Is it true? Are you sure? Okay, face one of your neighbors. Look them in the eyeball. Say, "I'm convinced the Holy Ghost is in you. I'm convinced that Jesus is in you.
Jesus.
And I'm understanding now
that
my Heavenly Father is there too.
Awesome, isn't it?
In his fullness. So when I get upset with somebody, am I upset with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Or do I see the mercy seat in front of me? Where is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the Old Testament? In the mercy seat. Where did he put the law? He put the law inside and he covered it up with a cover. Call the mercy seat. Is that mercy seat inside of you? How often do you use it? How often do you give yourself mercy? Not picking on anybody else now. How often do you give yourself mercy? See, I've been studying a little bit, and the Lord is trying to make me awake to awaken you. That you're not what you look like. Yes, there you are in irritation. And when the darkness comes around and it looks at you, it says, shut the windows, pull down the shades, I can't stand it. Are you ready? Verse 11. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Woohoo! In him. In Christ, in the anointing, you were circumcised. No more cutting flesh. Say, ouch. If I was a man, I wouldn't like it. For those of you who are listening, ladies, just get over it. Laugh a little bit, please. Okay? It's a joke. Not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by the anointing. Why? Because the anointing, when it is working, it's going to change your attitude. It's going to determine your altitude. We've been there before. Your attitude will determine your altitude. You're going to be happy all the time. You're going to be so full of love that you'll do anything for everybody. Instead of thinking about me, myself, and I got to think, I got to protect myself. How many have ever been protecting themselves? And they close the doors on all those they love because they're trying to survive. Guess who their Lord is? His name is self, and he's an idol. And you worship. You worship every time you protect yourself. You worship by laying down your life for yourself. And it tried the other night with me. My wife made a comment. And I went to hesitate, and the Holy Spirit says, give. And I said, okay. He said, right now, she's got the heart of love and you're thinking about self. And I said, yes, Lord. So I picked up what she asked and off we went. It took 3.5 hours to do what she wanted to do. And I did it with joy. Did I feel like it when I picked up the item? No. Did I really want to do it? No. There was an old pattern in my head that said, you need to rest. You need to pray. You need to be with the Lord. You can listen to that BS all day long if you want. And you will serve that thing. It's called the Adamic selfish nature. And I could give you all kinds of scripture, but I don't want to go there right now. I want to go back to see who's going to trim your wings so you can fly higher. Verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith in the power of God.
not through the faith of your own power and your own steam. Who raised him from the dead? If you lifted him out of the grave, then by golly, I'll trust you. But instead, I would prefer to trust him. Because he already did it, and you haven't yet. Verse 20. You say, why jumping? I'm purposing to get somewhere. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but with self-imposed worship, their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgences. Okay, where are you getting at?
When my wife and I were married, we came home and we almost got killed within 2 miles of our home. My wife and I were just driving. She was actually combing her hair because we had been away for a while. And her dad and my dad and my mom were following us. And if it hadn't been for them, the guy who hit us would have hit and run. And he destroyed the car. He didn't destroy us, but he tried. We got home, and we survived the accident. Now, why am I telling you this? Because for the next roughly 16 months, we were redoing her parents' home, because her mother had died a year and a half before that we were married. And so there was a need for upgrade. Now, if we would have listened to the Holy Ghost, we would have left everything alone. But instead, we redid the living room, we redid our bedroom, we redid a couple of other rooms. And then, of course, there was a pregnancy, and my wife is now 8 months pregnant, and we have my father-in-law waking us up at around 12:30 at night. He came into our room and said, get out quick. And the house was on fire. We escaped through the window, walked out on the porch, and everything we had went up in flames. Everything I worked for, everything I did, all that extra work, all those new items were now ruined. That's how long it takes. You can work for 18, 20 months, prepare everything that you think is so special, and it can go up in flames in a matter of a couple of hours. Then we went into my neighbor's house. We sat in their front window, and we watched the house burn. And you know what? There was perfect peace in our hearts. Because Irene's grandmother, who had brought her up, had been brought to the hospital the night before, less than 6 hours before the fire. If it wouldn't have been for God's grace, she would have been in that room right over where the explosion took place, and she would have died there. And probably the three of us would have probably tried to get her out because she was totally deaf. She would have heard nothing. And in trying to get her safe, we probably would have died from the smoke. Hear me now. Since you died with Christ, 20, to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to be perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. You say, well, that's kind of taking it out of context. No, I'm trying to tell you, you can live through something. And you can work your butt off. And it can be gone.
in a matter of a few hours. So if you're working for all these natural things, instead of the anointing that is in you by Christ, by the Father and the Holy Ghost that's alive in you, you're on a wrong course. You need to change. Chapter 3, verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where is he seated? Where's God seated? Where's Papa? Which throne? Inside of us. It's so incredible to think that you don't have to reach out there. You can just reach in. That's what it says. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ, or with the anointing in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. That's going to shake your brains a little. That's why I asked you to pray for your memory banks. Because this is going to stir you to get a new vision of who you really are and how precious you are to Papa, to the Son, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And it goes on to the list, and I could read them all, but I'm not going to. Verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek, no Jew, no circumcision or uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythians, slaves or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So your title, your background, your nature, your stamp of approval, your stamp of disapproval means nothing when it comes to the anointing. Your background, oh, I was this and I was that, is irrelevant. Why? Because Christ, the anointed one who is living in you, is making you so much higher than where you lived and where you were and where you think you were or how important you might have thought you were. When it comes to Christ, you have really looked at this on a human level, and it needs to be seen from the Spirit of Father. When I say to you that the fullness of Christ is alive in you, that should get you all excited. That should get you so that, my God, I never realized who's living in me. In fullness. So when he's ready to bless you, he doesn't have to far go. He's right inside. So when you go to bed tonight and you close your eyes, you might get a peek inside. Where's the mercy seat? In your heart. Have you ever heard your heart say, forgive them quickly, and your head says, they don't deserve it. Come on, come on. Amen. So where's your problem? Up here. This box that you got on the shoulders. Here is where the mercy's going to be flowing from, and he's going to say, just pick up the item, listen to your wife, she's right. Come on, I'm being honest with you guys, okay? I'm telling you, it took 3.5 hours to do whatever it needed to be done. And you know what? I did it with joy. Why? Because I had the mind of Christ. I had the mind of the anointed. I was doing it unto somebody in love. not in anger and resentment and selfishness. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I couldn't tell you about it, because I'd be too proud. But I'm telling you, I did it with him.
Praise God. Praise God.
I can jump up and down and say, yes, I did it with him. He did it through me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was happy during the whole thing. Yeah, it works. I tested it for you. Put your Bibles down. Stand up. Say, my background's not important. My future is all important. The Holy Ghost is alive in me. The Son, Jesus Christ, is alive in me. And my Heavenly Papa. He's right there with him. I can get excited. Because the Anointed One is me. And He's you. He's anointed you. To preach the good news. To give out some light. To give out some life. To give out some mercy. Instead of selfishness. The old self is dying. It don't want to. It wants to live. It wants to resurrect from death. Amen. Be blessed. Bless your neighbor before you leave. Okay? Bless them good. Uh-huh.